program are those of the host and the participants.
Greetings. Welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, here at WILL AM 580 in beautiful Urbana, Illinois, coming to you live today on a gorgeous Sunday, August 8th, 2004. After producing or directing more than 50 television movies, miniseries, and feature films, director Robert Greenwald expanded his creative focus in 2001 to include documentary filmmaking. Inspired by the controversy over vote counting in Florida, he executive produced the 2002 documentary Unprecedented, the 2000 presidential election, directed by Richard Ray Perez and John Seckler, which has been widely seen on the Sundance Channel and film festivals and on DVD. The success of that project led Greenwald to commit to two additional documentaries, Uncovered, which he produced and directed, and the upcoming Unconstitutional, directed by Noni de la Peña, about the erosion of American civil liberties following the events of 9/11. But Greenwald's most recent film is probably the one that brought him the most attention, the documentary Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, which was released on DVD in July, widely seen on MoveOn.com, or .org, excuse me, house parties throughout the nation in the past few weeks, which Greenwald produced and directed. It is my pleasure to welcome to our airwaves again here in East Central Illinois, Robert Greenwald. Robert, are you there?
I sure am.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your weekend and away from your family to join us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We've had you on before, and it was a very popular show with our listeners. And the last time we had you on was just prior to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. You were with Mike Farrell and discussing the community of artists and entertainers in Hollywood who were raising their voices in opposition to the U.S. invasion of Iraq. And so it's been a couple years. And let's talk first. Let's get right into Outfoxed, since that is the movie of yours that is getting the most attention right now. Tell folks who haven't seen Outfoxed, and I think most of our listeners would qualify, what the movie is about and why you've decided to make it.
Well, the movie's about a couple of things. The centerpiece of the movie is the outrageous behavior of Fox News Network, and we objectively prove that they are a partisan, biased network, of which is nothing wrong, except they call themselves Fair and Balanced rather than calling themselves the Republican Party Network, or Right and Proud. And that's the centerpiece. The larger frame for the movie, though, is the work that you've pioneered all these years, which is the whole issue of media consolidation and how that affects all of us in a democracy, and how critical it is that we have varied sources of information in our media, which is becoming harder and harder to get. Fox News is particularly dangerous partly because of its political pseudo-patriotism, but also because they don't do news. They do opinion, and they do it cheaply and inexpensively. They have a few people in a room screaming their opinions at each other. And it doesn't cost anywhere near it would to have real journalists go out and research stories.
Now, when you picked on Outfoxed or the Fox News Channel, is that a suggestion that the rest of the media is doing a good job? I mean, how do you see the Fox News Channel compared to CNN or MSNBC?
Well, I think when we look back on the war, one of the greatest tragedies will have been the role of the media in the build-up to war. Had we had a truly democratic and varied media, a lot more hard and tough questions would have been answered. And I don't know that we could say it would have changed things, but it certainly would have opened a lot of people's eyes rather than so many of the media getting in line right behind Fox News in sort of waving the flag and abdicating their role as critical eyes in terms of government policy. So, no, I think the media is in general, is an enormous problem, and actually I think you say it in the film that until we get a full and democratic media, we're never going to get the kind of social justice country we want. So I see the problem as way beyond Fox, but Fox is financially quite successful, and in the ways of large corporations is very dangerous because others are copying it in both its political content and its lessening of resources towards real news.
Yeah, in fact, in the film you call that, I think, the Fox effect.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, explain the Fox effect, because, I mean, your argument, as you're just saying, is not just that Fox is opinionated and under the ruse of being neutral or fair or balanced, but also that it's affecting the nature of journalism outside of Fox.
Absolutely. Well, I believe it's a systemic problem. It's not one individual or one bad network. We look at them most intently because they are the poster child for bad behavior in the way they mistreat news, in that they take it completely into a world of personal opinion, parading as news, and it's personal opinion with one political bias, i.e. Republican, not even conservative, by the way, because there are conservatives that I disagree with, but they rarely find their way to Fox News because there are conservatives who are in favor of a balanced budget or a prudent foreign policy or protection of civil liberties, but they're at odds with the Bush administration. So you don't even get that at Fox News. What you get is partisan Bush party line over and over and over again. So you have that, where you have a network that was actively involved in encouraging us to go to war, and now you have a network actively working for one candidate and the defeat of another candidate. That's a very dangerous precedent, and the fact that they're making some money is important that we really call attention to it and begin to stop them and others. Now, the good news is, when all is said and done, it still is a small number of people who watch Fox News. And I think we can, you know, affect them and affect the sponsorship with the work you're doing and, you know, many of the other groups. To me, one of the most exciting things about doing the film has been that it's part of a movement. It's not just opening a movie. So if you go to the website outfoxed.org, or you go to your website, Bob, people can find out about a, you know, variety of groups doing all different kinds of work.
We're talking to Robert Greenwald today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Robert Greenwald is a filmmaker, producer, and director who's made more than 50 television movies, miniseries, and films over his long career in Hollywood, and recently has made a number of documentaries, the most recent of which is Outfoxed, which has just been released in the past month or so, and to a considerable acclaim, and now is getting theatrical distribution. Is that right, Robert?
It is. In fact, it's just amazing. We opened in New York, L.A., San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and had almost entirely sold-out houses over the weekend, which is, in and of itself, is amazing for a small documentary. But then on top of that, the fact that we previously sold over 100,000 DVDs of the film, I mean, there really is something going on here. And we've had Q&As after different screenings where people stay and talk in all the different cities. The level of passion, the level of caring, and the number of people who want to do something about the media is really exciting. And again, you know, I think you really laid the groundwork for all of this.
Okay, well, the phone line here, if you want to call in and have a question for Robert Greenwald, is 333-9455. Our toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Savoy, line one, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Hi, yes. First, I'd just like to say congratulations on the success that you've had, and thank you for the important work that you're doing. It's good to hear you on this show. My question is that while, you know, Fox and other networks have been referred to as the right-wing echo chamber, as I've heard, one thing that's happened this past, you know, couple of weeks is the security alert coming out and heightened security on the East Coast. And I've started to hear actually people say, well, you know, maybe this is partisan, maybe this is politics, and that actually it started to get some media coverage to say, you know, were these politically motivated? And is this the beginning of a left-wing or a liberal echo chamber? And I'd just like to hear your comments. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, two things. First of all, I don't think the issue of terrorism is a Republican or a Democratic issue. I mean, I think everybody has concerns. So first of all, the notion that they would frame it as liberals or Democrats don't care about terrorism is nonsense, and one we all have to discount. The question is not the terrorism and wanting people to not die, but it's a question of how you respond to it, first of all. Second of all, I think that what we have seen in some ways is a result of the fact that the media was misled, lied to, and distorted about the reasons for the war. So now we're seeing them much quicker and much sooner putting a critical eye to the information coming out. Now, I don't know what the real answer is. Maybe we'll never know. But the good news is we have people asking the questions. They're not just accepting that 3 or 4 year old information should be reasons for putting an alert out. They're asking the questions. And I think that's, as I understand it, that's what democracy does, rather than the, you know, last couple of years where we've been under the shadow of 9/11, which is shut up and listen.
Robert, now the caller also talked about a liberal echo chamber. The defense that Fox News gives and the Weekly Standard and Rush Limbaugh and conservative radio talk show hosts to their conduct is that they're balancing the liberal bias and the rabid liberal partisanship of the mainstream news media, commercial and public combined. Is there a liberal echo chamber that approaches Democrats and non-Republican politicians in the same way that you argue Fox News Channel handles Republicans in the Bush administration?
Well, liberal echo chamber or bias is nonsense. And, you know, they really know it if you push conservatives and Republicans. They admit that they what they are doing is working the refs, as it were, you know, pushing the media, constantly attacking them, calling, writing, putting pressure on them, so that if there's a close call, if you will, it'll tip in their direction, which it has for too many years. Thank goodness we are responding now. But by any objective, rational measurement, it's not even a question. There's no liberal bias. NPR, which the Foxies hold up as the example of bias, FAIR just recently did this really quite brilliant study showing the guests on NPR lean conservative. My analogy is that, you know, Fox News is to Air America, not to anything else. So Fox News is to Pacifica. So I think that idea is something that the conservatives have done very wisely, very smartly, trying to frame it that way. But it's complete nonsense if you read Eric Alterman's book. You know, it just doesn't hold up under any kind of scrutiny.
We're talking to Robert Greenwald today, the director of the new film Outfoxed and many other motion pictures and TV movies and documentaries. We'll be talking about all of them, or not all the films, but some of the documentaries today on Media Matters. If you'd like to call in with a question, the number is 333-9455. Our toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phone lines. Cell phone out there in cyberspace or in the ether, please. You're talking with Robert Greenwald.
Line two?
You're at line two.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, my question is, how can I wean a couple of my friends from Fox News short of locking out their stations on their TV sets when they're not looking?
Well, it's a very good question. I think there are a couple of parts to the problem.
One and is, I am ordering your DVD and showing it to whoever will watch it, yes.
Okay. Well, hopefully that is one element. You know, the problem is that it is entertaining, and if people watch it as a kind of a wrestling match, if you will, you know, a mud wrestling match, it's one thing. The problem is, and there's a study in the film, this PIPA study, that's quite devastating, which essentially says the more you watch Fox News, the less you know. I don't really know the answer as to how you wean them away. To the degree that they think they are getting news and information, I think it's a question of going at them issue after issue, information after information, and continually to show them the inaccuracies and the distortions. FAIR does it very well. David Brock has started a wonderful organization called Media Matters that you can also see online, and he monitors them. And every day, every other day, there are 2, 3, 4, 5 distortions, lies, overstatements on Fox News. So if your friends care about that, if it's a rational discussion, that's one way to go after them. If it's just entertainment, then the only thing I can say is tell them it's better to watch wrestling.
You know, Robert, when Al Franken wrote his book, Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them, and had a picture of O'Reilly in the cover, and then the subtitle was A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right, the Fox News Channel did not respond very enthusiastically to Franken's book and threatened a lawsuit. In fact, started a lawsuit, so he couldn't use that in the title. In this film, you're using a lot of clips from Fox News. Did they cooperate with you in making this documentary?
No. What we did was we did it for 4 or 5 months. We worked in complete quiet, if you will, because I knew that Fox News would sue to stop me before I had finished the film, just like they sued Franken and then realized partway into the suit, oh, my goodness, we've turned this into a huge bestseller, which they did. So I think they learned their lesson. I can't say for sure. They might still sue us, but I had the help and cooperation of some brilliant lawyers who worked pro bono to make sure that if, in fact, they pursued us legally, we were carefully within the fair usage grounds, which allows you to take material to tell a story that can't be told any other way. And I think, you know, we've gotten this extraordinary amount of press and publicity around that, Fox, and I think a big part of the reason, well, there's two parts. One is we had all of the groups working together to support the film, and really get the word out there. And the other thing is we use the clips from Fox to tell about Fox, and as much as I love reading newspapers and magazines and books, there's something about seeing it in your face. The music, the logos, the body language, the yelling, the cutting off the microphone, that I think has a cumulative effect that you can't deny.
We're talking to Robert Greenwald today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. Now, Robert, before we go back to the phone lines, we have a few callers patiently waiting. Fox News Channel is owned by News Corporation, the transnational conglomerate that Rupert Murdoch runs. And they also own a television network in the United States, the Fox Network. They own cable channels. They own a major film studio, 20th Century Fox, in Hollywood. I mean, in your day job, so to speak, when you're not making documentaries, News Corporation is one of the sort of companies you've probably done business with over the years. Does doing something like this documentary out Fox affect your ability to work in Hollywood?
Well, I think, in general, when you do something you passionately believe in, you should be prepared for some consequences. I mean, ultimately, we shouldn't expect that we can have it always. We can't take on the forces of power and expect there to be no repercussions, because if there are none, then we're not doing our job well enough. It means we haven't mattered. I don't know specifically how it will all play out and what the effect will be. But it certainly is an important enough issue that whatever particular consequences come to me, I think are worth it in terms of wanting to be able to look at myself in the mirror and say I'm doing everything possible in a time that I believe is a critical time in the profound major decisions in terms of what kind of country we're going to have.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Line 4, San Francisco, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Thank you for having me. I told your screener I don't want to outwear my welcome because I'm a supporter of Nader. I have a great estimation for your guest, Mr. Greenwald, but I wanted to call and say that I'm very disturbed by how the media has been framing Ralph Nader, portraying him as taking money from supporting money from Republicans, and really a host of dirty tricks. I feel the same as Mr. Greenwald does about the same indignation that he does about the Republicans in Fox. And it's very similar, but I think with the issues and the conflicts that are so strong today, I think most Democrats are ignoring that for the sake of their need to fight Bush, but it's sad to me, and I wish the media would look at that a little more closely. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Now, Robert, your film, Outfox, and your other work does not endorse a political candidate that I saw, at least. Do you have a horse in the 2004 race?
Well, in terms of the films, no, they don't endorse a candidate. I do feel that, to quote one of the columnists, that when your house is burning down, you have to put out the fire before you remodel the house.
That was Arianna Huffington.
Oh, was it Arianna? Okay.
Yeah.
And to that extent, I would disagree with the caller on the phone, even though I have in the past had great respect for Mr. Nader. I think it's critically important that Bush be thrown out of office, and to the extent that voting for Nader harms and affects that, I think it's an unconscionable act for a progressive.
Now, Kerry, in the Democratic Convention, in his speech and in his positions, has not been especially anti-war. He voted for the initial vote to authorize the invasion of Iraq. Does it unsettle you at all that he really isn't an anti-war candidate along the lines of a Dean or Kucinich, who also ran for the Democratic nomination, or a Nader, for that matter?
Well, certainly I would prefer that, but I think there's no question that with Kerry in office, you know, there's going to be a much, I mean, it's not even close, chance of settling this, getting our troops out, and resolving the enormous, terrible harm we've done around the world to the United States, to other countries, the killing of people throughout the world. And I think that with Kerry in office, obviously progressives will have their work to do. It's not a question of, you know, going into semi-retirement like many did with Clinton. But it's no issue. I mean, we've seen what life is like with Bush. We've seen the radical agendas that they're prepared to pursue. And if they're in for another 4 years without having to worry about getting reelected, I think it would be even worse.
You know, Robert, we have seen this year, I think, a greater degree or level of activism by celebrities or well-known figures and entertainers. Just this past week, a major musical tour announced featuring people like Bruce Springsteen. They'll be playing in the swing states, all in an effort to draw votes to Kerry and away from Bush and to defeat Bush in the election. I think representing the sentiment you just announced, and you know, conservatives are quick to denounce this and say that that just proves that, you know, these are the Hollywood liberals who are completely out of touch with the people of the country, and that, you know, celebrities and entertainers have no business weighing in on politics. I suspect you've heard both these comments in your own career more than once. And how do you respond to that?
Ronald Reagan and Arnold Schwarzenegger is the shorthand answer. And the slightly longer answer is, the last time I checked, in a democracy, one of the things people were supposed to do was speak up and speak out in whatever ways are available to them. And I think, to me, and again, I go back to the anti-war stuff, when in working with Mike Farrell and we got 100 actors and actresses to come out against the war, when very few in the Democratic Party were, by the way, I think it's terrific. The conservatives and the right have been very smart about trying to position it and name call and defame those who speak out, but it's not going to work. And the number of people who care is, I think, and are willing to put time and energy into it, who aren't asking for anything back. You know, that's one of the key things. Some big corporation supports Bush, and they're going to get it back in a deal to destroy a forest or in some energy deal or a tax cut. These entertainers and Hollywood and musicians, they're not getting anything back except doing what they believe is right for their country. And that, to me, is the real patriotism.
You're listening to Robert Greenwald, the director of the new film Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, which was just released on DVD and is appearing in theatrical distribution. And if you want to find out about that, Robert, you go to outfoxed.org, and get all the information you want on it. And we have a full bank of phone lines to talk with Robert Greenwald today, and I promise we're going to get to all of you. Let's go in the order that people have been waiting. Line one, Terre Haute, Indiana. You're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. I'm glad your signal gets this far. I think that your program, Mr. McChesney, is one of the most valuable that we hear all day.
Well, thank you.
What I would like to ask your guest is, I understand that there is a suit against Fox taken on the basis of false advertising, that they are not fair and balanced, and I wondered if he knows anything about the progress of that. And then my second question would be directed to either or both of you. I've had some background and a degree in communications many years ago. But when I first heard about it, embedded reporters, that rang so many bells to me from all that I had read and studied and practiced as a working journalist for a few years. I'd like your comments, either one or both, on the practice of embedding reporters, and is this what we're going to have from now on? Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much. Robert?
On the lawsuit, there actually are two parallel things. Move On, as many of you who are members may know, had a petition campaign to try to go to the FTC on the fair and balanced issue, which we're still waiting to see the results of. Simultaneously, Alternet, and I hope many of the listeners subscribe to alternet.org, has taken on the specific lawsuit, which will be, I think, coming up in mid-September, where the copyright on Fair and Balanced was about to cede, believe it or not, to Fox News, in which case they would have controlled those words. But Alternet is going to court to stop that, to try to stop that, and they can use all of our help and support in their lawsuit.
Okay, and as for embedded journalists, now your last documentary prior to Outfoxed was Uncovered and dealt with the invasion of Iraq and the reasons given. So you've thought a lot about the press coverage. You've already referred to it on this program, the press coverage of the buildup to the war in Iraq. What's your take on embedded reporters?
Well, I think embedded is part of the larger problem and actually almost a tragedy, which was the press coverage of the buildup to war. I've been working, or I've finished working on an expanded version of Uncovered, which will be going into movie theaters in late August and into September all around the country. And there's a whole section in that film, on the media. And I, as somebody who loves journalists and loves newspapers, going back and revisiting the absence of almost any kind of alternative viewpoints is really quite shocking. I mean, it's one thing, the coverage and the bias in the coverage, but in terms of the guests, you know, the basic debate was, do we bomb them or do we go in by land? I mean, there was virtually no discussion on the primary media about alternative issues. And this was a radical step. I mean, this was a preemptive war, and yet it still was accepted in the most horrifying kind of fashion by our media.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Line 2, Shelbyville, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Yes, I love your show, and I look forward to it every week. I'm finally old enough that I've been able to define myself, and I'm a compassionate, liberal, conservative. And I think we should all start using that. And I know that both of you are the very same thing. And I just think this is wonderful, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
So, Robert, do you like that term, compassionate, liberal, conservative?
I'll take it.
Okay. This is Media Matters you're listening to here in WILL AM 580 in beautiful Urbana, Illinois. We've got about 25 minutes left in our program today with Robert Greenwald, the director of the new film, Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War of Journalism. And there is also an expanded and updated version of Uncovered coming out, the film on the war in Iraq. And you said that's coming out just this month, is that right?
It'll be out late August and into September and opening around the country.
For theatrical release?
Yep.
But between you and Michael Moore, you guys are trying to turn the election around here, it sounds like.
Well, we're going to get a lot of films out, and I think, I mean, what's exciting with the un-series of films, it's a little bit of what we're doing with Outfoxed, but we'll do it even more, which will be Uncovered will go out, and then Unprecedented, and then the new one, Unconstitutional, is that we'll be going around the country, and they will be we'll be having town hall meetings, we'll be having premieres. The ACLU is sponsoring Unconstitutional. The NAACP and People for the American Way will be sponsoring Unprecedented, and there will be opportunities throughout the country in different environments for the films to screen and then to have discussions about them. If people want any more information about that, by the way, if they go to the Outfoxed website, they can email us and, you know, we'll keep them informed about the possibilities.
You know, we hear the name MoveOn a lot. I suspect some of our listeners get their emails, may well be members of MoveOn.org. What's the relationship of MoveOn to your work?
I've been involved with MoveOn since the anti-war stuff when we worked together. I was able to get Marty Sheen to be the face of the virtual March on Washington, and I find them to be just an extraordinary small group, by the way. You know, they have 2.5 million people, and they're, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them who work out of their homes who make it all happen. And they have been supportive both in the distribution of Uncovered and Outfoxed by making it available and telling their members online. And they've also been financially made it possible for me to do the movies, because even though I volunteer in doing these films, you know, there are editors and sound people and equipment, all that has to get paid for. And MoveOn and the Center for American Progress have both been gracious enough to help support Uncovered and Outfoxed.
If you'd like to call in with a question for Robert Greenwald, the number here at Media Matters is 333-9455, our toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Line 3, Champaign County, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
He's like, you know, 6 months old.
Hello?
Hello, line. I'm sorry, I lost track of the call, sir.
Okay, that's fine. Line, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
I don't waste any time, but this I heard you earlier this morning, and one thing you talked about, the repercussions for the film actors and directors and stepping out of line here, but one thing that was emphasized was the courage of the journalists who are speaking out now. Three of them were, I believe, anonymous, but a number came out and are getting attacked. So I wanted you to speak about that. But I also wanted to, this idea of Hollywood liberal film, I mean, what do we say about Rambo and Arnold's oeuvre? You know, this reinforces a worldview that's can't at all be said liberal, and there's a lot of that. I think you can go back to, I think, the attack on Upton Sinclair that the Hollywood establishment did when he was running so many years ago. So there's a lot of commonplaces that need to be examined, it seems to me. And this one other thing, I heard you also with Nat Hentoff, and maybe it would be an occasion, he was praising Carl Cameron, and maybe it'd be an occasion if you had enough time to do it, to just outline the really obsequious relationship that you, and this was also a film that was smuggled, obviously, by somebody on the inside. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Yeah, and Robert, in the film Outfoxed, I mean, you rely a lot upon working journalists for your material, don't you?
Oh, very much. The people who have previously worked at Fox News Network who came forward are really the heroes of the film, in the sense that Roger Ailes casts a large shadow. People were very nervous about taking Fox and therefore Ailes on. As several said, he's Tony Soprano. And they have careers and livelihoods that several of them have said they felt would be jeopardized, but it was important enough to speak out that they did that. There are several people in the film who are anonymous for reasons that I can't go into, but just I think we all owe all of them quite a debt of gratitude, because they give specific, certifiable information about how they were given political instruction. Remember, that's the important point, is to try to prove this empirically.
Yeah, yeah. And then the caller also mentioned Carl Cameron, who's a Fox reporter who figures prominently in Outfoxed. And maybe you could explain his appearance in the film.
Cameron was the primary news correspondent covering the presidential campaign in 2000. And through one of our great sources, I had some video that's never been seen before, where he's chit-chatting with then Governor Bush before the election, when he's about to interview him. And he talks completely openly about how his wife is working on the Bush campaign and how great that is. And I mean, it's quite troubling and quite shocking to see a major political reporter currying favor that way. He, after the film came out and people, they were busy spinning and responding, he said that I had done trick editing, to which I said, well, you know, I consider myself a pretty good filmmaker, but I don't know how to put words in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess something from Move On, whereas someone at Fox made a charge, maybe it was that episode, and then you released the entire interview so people could watch it for themselves. Is that the one?
Exactly.
So people can go to the MoveOn.org website and find the complete interview, unedited, if they want to judge for themselves that you did some trick editing to put words into Cameron's mouth. Okay, we're talking to Robert Greenwald. We've got two people waiting to call. We've got lines open. If you want to call in and speak with Greenwald, the number is 333-9455. Our toll-free line is open at 1-800-222-9455. Line 1, Charleston, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Yeah, hi, Mr. McChesney. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I'm visiting here from St. Louis, listening to your show, and I'm enjoying it so far. My brother's recommended it highly. My question to Mr. Greenwald was about Bill O'Reilly. I have a story to share about a time he was being interviewed by a St. Louis radio personality, where in the short form, O'Reilly got the tables turned on him, and finally, you know, he just broke down, started yelling at him, and started turning to a yelling match, and the radio personality told him if he ever was in New York, he was going to kick his behind in and everything. And my question was, why does Bill O'Reilly think he has to stoop down to bullying tactics to intimidate his guest and things like that?
Well, not being Mr. O'Reilly's either therapist or anger management counselor, it's hard for me to know the reasons. Clearly, he, as the polite phrase is, has issues around some of these questions. He is a true bully. But as with all bullies, you know, once you go back at them, they don't quite know how to handle it. And O'Reilly's used to be able to say whatever he wants and get away with it. Fortunately, with the film and the great work that David Brock is doing on Media Matters, his website, the light's on O'Reilly. And I think we're starting to score some serious points to show that he's outrageous and over the line, and also, frankly, to poke some fun at him. And humor is one of the great devices for chopping the legs off bullies.
And that's exactly what happened in that interview with the St. Louis radio personality, too. So, okay, thanks very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Speaking of humor, the other great media event besides OutFox this summer for sort of critical or liberal or left or progressive political commentary, of course, is Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11. Have you had an opportunity to see it yet, Robert?
Yes, I have.
What's your take on it?
I think it's just great. I love the film. I was enthralled. I laughed. I was moved. I think Michael is just to be commended forever for the work he did.
Now, he has come under attack from the right for the factual accuracy of certain parts of the film. Have you followed some of that, since you faced the same sort of criticism at times?
You know, I've followed some of it, but it's generally, like, it's interesting on the attacks without Fox, it's generally off the primary message. So one of our, one of the people from Fox News who participated in outing their politics was attacked because they said she was a associate producer, not a co-producer. I mean, it's that kind of stuff, rather than, wait a minute, did you guys give political instruction? I mean, that's the real debate here. And they're wrong on the little stuff, but that's what they tend to go to. I haven't followed this in the debates with Michael's material closely, but I would be willing to bet it's of a similar ilk. Because one of the sad things, actually, with this group of right-wing folks is they don't seem to want to engage in the discussion of the substance. It's always around the margins. And maybe that makes for better shouting matches, but it doesn't make for better democracy.
You know, the last caller asked about Bill O'Reilly and had her story, which really wasn't that surprising given what we know about O'Reilly. In your film, OutFox, you have sort of now a famous segment that I've heard about but hadn't seen before between O'Reilly and I think his name's Jeremy Glick, is that right?
Jeremy, yes.
The son of a man who was killed in one of the World Trade Towers on 9/11. And it's a pretty powerful exchange that you give really quite a lot of time to it. Can you explain what that is for listeners who haven't had the privilege of seeing the film yet?
Yes. Jeremy Glick's father was killed in 9/11. He subsequently signed an anti-war ad. O'Reilly had him on in his show, and it was an infamous sequence. In O'Reilly, in his true glory as pompous bully, begins to lecture Jeremy about Jeremy's dead father, who O'Reilly never knew, telling Jeremy your father wouldn't like this. I mean, it's just incredible. And then telling Jeremy about his mother, who O'Reilly's never met, how I hope your mom isn't watching. You know, both of which go off the charts in terms of self-aggrandizement and insensitivity. And he loses it. He starts yelling. He tells him to shut up. He throws him off the show. I took that clip. I then went back and interviewed Jeremy, a few months ago, with now having had a few months away, got his perspective on it, and got Al Franken, who had been very helpful to Jeremy, and intercut this together to create this section, which I think is just out-and-out devastating, because O'Reilly absolutely lies. He says that Jeremy said stuff he never said. Well, instead of apologizing or sneaking off in a corner, O'Reilly last week goes back and starts attacking Jeremy again.
Last week on the air?
Yeah.
Do you think O'Reilly's seen OutVoxed?
I assume he has seen parts of it because he's spending some time attacking it, attacking me, attacking the film. So I'm assuming yesterday there was quite a debate he had with Krugman. I haven't gotten the transcript yet, but apparently he attacked it. One of my favorite quotes was, the smear merchant stole video from us, which had been sent to me. So I think that he has been unsettled by it.
We're talking to Robert Greenwald, the director of the new film, Outfoxed, Rupert Murdoch's War on Journalism, and the maker of many other documentaries and lots of television movies, miniseries, and feature films over the year, including the, about 4 years ago, you did the Abbie Hoffman biopic, Steal This Movie.
Yep.
Starring as Anita Hoffman, none other than Janine Garofalo, now famed as an Air America correspondent. If you'd like to call in with a question for Robert, the number here, 333-9455, our toll-free number, and the toll-free line is open, 1-800-222-9455. We've got about 10 or 11 minutes left if you want to call in, and there are lines open. Let's go back to the lines. Line 2, car phone. You're on with Robert Greenwald.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As I drive down through central and southern Illinois, I find it awfully hard to get away from the stations that carry Rush Limbaugh. And he's as, if not more dangerous than Fox, in my view. He covers the rural areas extremely well. I was wondering where one could get information on ratings or growth or trends in ratings on programs like Rush Limbaugh's and Fox. Is there a source of information for that? That's one question I have. And then on a little different subject, I've seen bits and snatches on reported efforts or meetings by some extremely conservative right-wing folks back in 97, 98 time period, where the concern, where the goal was to change our foreign policy to an interventionist aggressive policy. Persons, names who've been mentioned have been Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and Rove and others. I don't know if there's any truth to it. If there is, I haven't seen anything deal with it very thoroughly. And does do you or does any of the listeners know where we can get more information on that subject? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I think the last part was about the neoconservative movement of the people in the White House, the cabal surrounding President George W. Bush, that has had a strongly interventionist attitude toward U.S. foreign policy going back to the 1990s. And we actually had a guest on the show a few weeks ago, Mark Crispin Miller, who spoke at length about precisely that group of individuals and what their core beliefs were. And I'd advise listeners to go to our webpage, and you can look up and listen to our Chronicle shows and listen to what Mark Miller had to say. Robert, radio, Rush Limbaugh, what comments do you have on that?
Well, let me also just respond to the neoconservative thing. Again, in the new version of Uncovered, I went into some more detail about that, because when I was touring around with the previous version, it was the single most asked question was, well, if it wasn't weapons of mass destruction, what was it? And I think it is in this neoconservative philosophy. So in addition to Miller, who's quite brilliant, those of you who like to get your information in films, it'll be in the new Uncovered. I don't know much about the numbers or, you know, ratings of Rush Limbaugh. What I do think is encouraging is, though, the alternative sources of media. I mean, certainly we want to go after the big guys and try to create infrastructure and rules and a world where they can't keep taking our airwaves from us, which are ours, remember. But at the same time, I think we want to build up the alternatives, whether it's shows like yours, Bob, Air America, Pacifica, Altnet, Link TV, because they are having a greater and greater impact. I think that, you know, Air America in certain cities like in New York, I think it was Al Franken was outdrawing O'Reilly's radio show, and I think Janine was outdrawing a couple of the others. So it's definitely progress.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. Line 1, cell phone, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Hello, I watched the interview last night with Paul Krugman and O'Reilly on the Tim Russert show, and I was really astonished at Russert's inability or unwillingness to insert himself when O'Reilly would go off on a rant, just engaging in his bullying, interrupting behavior. I don't understand why the interviewee, such as Paul Krugman, allows it. He should be able to say, this is not acceptable, this is not acceptable. I have to continue saying it until the bully is shut up and Krugman can finish his thought. I have to say, you know, I'm just extremely distressed when I hear credible, knowledgeable people being interviewed by folks like O'Reilly and others, and this loutish behavior is allowed by the interviewee. You don't have to allow it.
You know, if I can interject something, Robert, before you respond, I recall that when Bill O'Reilly was on Terry Gross's Fresh Air last year, he stormed off the set in the famous incident now because he thought she was bullying him when, in fact, she was actually being persistent in trying to get him to answer some of the questions that he was dodging. And the ombud person for NPR sort of chastised Gross for being too hard on O'Reilly. And this might be more evidence of the liberal bias people are concerned about with NPR, basically saying O'Reilly was justified. And do you think that someone like a Tim Russert or another interviewer is concerned that if they play tough with O'Reilly, that they'll be accused of being a liberal, whereas they know if they play tough with Paul Krugman or you, that will nothing they'll have to worry about?
Well, I think that's been true in the past, and I didn't see the show, but I encourage the listener on the line to call the station, to write a letter. It's amazing. It's amazing. I can't emphasize this enough, what 3, 4, 5 letters, a few phone calls can make on places. And I don't know if Russert has a website or something, but these are the times when we must let them know that the old days are gone, when the only thing they had to be concerned about was being attacked from the right. If Russert didn't intervene and didn't cut off O'Reilly, the reason that Krugman did that show versus the O'Reilly show was in order to get a fair hearing. And if he didn't, we've got to raise that issue.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Line 3, out there in the highways of Illinois, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Let me ask your guest there a question. I just come back from Fallujah. I just spent 12 months in Fallujah over there. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the towers were hit, we were called up to do our duty, and we did our duty. The people that's not over there don't have no idea about the weapons of mass destruction, where they're hit at or where they're at. I've seen some of them. I've had to pick up some and destroy some of them. People forget about the buildings that was bombed over on our side and all the innocent people over here killed. And the way they treat Bush, I think what Bush should do is just call all the troops abroad back home, kick back to his easy chair and say, okay, you want your boys here? You don't want none of them to die? I won't send no more over here. So the next time something like that happens, don't call on me to defend you. I get so tired. I went over there and spent 12 months fighting for these people over here. They treat me just like they do the people from Vietnam. Cuss me, call me names and everything else because I went over there to take care of business and protect all these people over here that's scared to do anything about it. And all they want to do is hide behind the left-wing liberals and bawl about it. That's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Robert, any...
I don't think anybody from either side, right or left, should be cussing you or calling you names. You did your duty. You were called to serve. I think it's unfortunate and tragic that many people, many Americans, and many of the military families speak out, who I work very closely with, over 1,000 families who have people over in Iraq. I think it's tragic that many of you have been called to a war and lives have been lost when the reasons, the weapons of mass destruction, have not been found. And David Kaye, the head weapons inspector, who I spent an hour interviewing for the new film, himself had said they have not been found. And if you wanted to send in your address, I'd be happy to send you a copy of the new film, which is not by liberals, but by people from the CIA, the Pentagon, and the Foreign Service, all talking about the fact we were not given honest reasons for the war.
And the website, again, for people to get in touch with you is?
Outfoxed.org.
Outfoxed.org. Okay, we don't have much time left. We've got a couple callers I want to get to. Line 4, Peoria, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Yeah, I wish I had come up with this thought, but there was a woman actually who was from the military. Her son was in the military, and her comment was that if the wealth of Iraq was in olive oil, we'd have never fired the first shot. And I think that if I would love to see somebody do a documentary that looks into the mindset of people who want to spend their lives governing other people, which necessarily, I believe, requires criminal activity, because humans aren't designed to be governed by other humans. And we have these people whose whole mindset is, what do I have to do to take over a nation and run it as though people couldn't do it for themselves? That's my comment. I'd love to see somebody do a documentary on that kind of mindset that doesn't have a life of their own and has to go run other people's lives.
All right, Robert, do you think that's your next project?
Well, I've got my plate full pretty right now. Late fall, I'll start to think about some other ones, and I will put it to an ever-growing list of topics that want to be have films about.
Now, do you think you're going to stay in the documentary film business from here on out or for the foreseeable future, or do you have fictional films on in your horizon as well?
Well, I very, very much want to continue doing this. I think it's given me enormous satisfaction and the thought to be able to make films that become part of the debate about really the direction of the country is incredibly satisfying. So my plan is to keep doing it. I will ultimately have to go out and, you know, raise some money to be able to do that, which I've avoided doing so far. But I'm very optimistic that I can continue to put a lot of time into doing it and therefore make some more documentaries, because once you've done it and you see this response and the people around the country and their responses, it only makes me want to do more and more. And goodness knows there's no lack of topics.
Yeah, and I must say, I agree with you. The effect that video can have really is quite extraordinary compared to print, which is my general medium, or even radio for that matter. We've got one patient caller to go. Line one, Champagne, you're on the air with Robert Greenwald.
Hi, I wanted to answer a question about a previous caller. I think the neocon group they're talking about is a project for a new American century. And they have a website, www.newamericancentury.org. There's a statement of principles page where they lay out some of the things they're interested in doing, and it's signed by most of the usual suspects, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Cheney, Abrams. Also, some interesting names like Steve Forbes, Gary Bauer, William Bennett, Dan Quayle reemerges there, and a recent NPR guest, Frank Gaffney, who I was mortified to see was on All Things Considered just a week or two ago, commenting on the war in Iraq with absolutely no balancing opinion whatsoever.
Caller, what was that website again?
www.newamericancentury.org.
Okay, thank you very much for that information. Robert, we've only got a few seconds left. Do you have any closing comment you'd like to make?
I just want to thank you for the program and for the work you've done in the media area, and hope that you know, your listeners will find different ways to get involved. There's no reason anymore to just be pissed off or upset about what we see and hear. For whatever your taste is, there's a menu and an item that you can go to work on, whether it's Washington, whether it's local, whether it's sponsor, whether it's writing or calling. There's something that you can do, and I just urge everybody to, you know, find a way to get involved 5 minutes a week, an hour a week. It's really going to make a huge difference.
Robert Greenwald, thank you so much for being our guest today in Media Matters. I'm Bob McChesney, your host. I'll be back 1 week from today with a show on the community wireless revolution. It's going to really blow your minds to hear about it. I want to thank Andrew Boyle for being my producer, and I'll see you in 167 hours.
Thank you.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Sugar Creek Symphony and Song, an opera and classical music festival in Watseka, Illinois, August 6th through 8th, featuring Gounod's tragic opera Romeo and Juliet. More information at sugarcreekfestival.org.
This afternoon in Champaign-Urbana, mostly sunny with a high in the lower 80s and southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s and south winds around 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, the high in the mid-80s with southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. You're listening to WILL Urbana, the broadcasting service of the University of Illinois. 580 on your AM dial and on the internet at WILL.UIUC.edu. It's 2 p.m. Central Time. A Prairie Home Companion is next.